I'm confident, said St. Paul to the Philippians, that the good work which God has begun in you, he will bring to completion. Imagine your dream property. If you could have exactly the place you wanted. Maybe rolling hills, a big, beautiful home, or maybe a more simple place, very homely feeling. Beautiful gardens and a well-kept house, beautiful brick-paved driveway. I'm sure it quickly comes to each of our minds just what we would like if we could have exactly the place we want. Now imagine you're standing at the gate to this home, the gate to this property, right there in front of you. And there stands beside you a king who owns it. And he says, I'm going away for a while, but I'm leaving you with the property. It's yours to enjoy. You just have to take care of it. Don't worry, I've planted good seed. I've given you everything you need. All the supplies are there. There's a well-equipped staff. There's gardeners and farmers, mechanics, carpenters, and all the tools that you'll need. All you have to do is look after it, take care of it, watch over it. It's yours to enjoy. And when I come back, if you take care of it, when I come back, it's yours to have. But be careful, there's people who will want to ruin it and who will want to steal from you. So just stay on your guard. The staff I've given you are good. Be careful not to let the bad ones in. So the king goes on his way, and there you are. You have the home of your dreams, the property that you've always wanted. Everything's perfect. Everything's well kept. Everything's running smoothly. You just have to keep on top of it, and it's all good. But after a while, the duties get kind of boring. It's more enjoyable to enjoy the place than to take care of it. You know, maybe you spend a little extra time relaxing. Things are going well. Why do you have to put quite so much effort into everything? So you start to let things slide. First, just your own little personal things, stuff no one else notices. Maybe your own apartments get a little messy. You start not keeping your books quite so carefully. Then you start to get a bit embarrassed, so you tell the cleaner, you know what, don't worry about my rooms, I'll take care of it, because you don't want them to see your mess. And you tell the accountant, you know, I'll look after the books myself, trying to hide your slacking. And gradually things decay. You start to not be watchful, not to look after things. The good staff start to leave because the environment isn't so good. Things aren't being taken care of. And you have to bring on people who aren't so great. And from there, things go downhill. Property's not looked after. The house starts to fall apart. You don't take good care of the accounts. And then some time later, a few years later, you stand at the same spot and you look. And the fields that were so beautiful and the gardens that were so well kept are now full of weeds. The paint's stripping on the house. Everything's in decay. And you wonder, if the tenant king came back today, what would happen? Would it be mine to have? God has begun, as St. Paul says, a perfect work in you. Within each of us, at our baptism, he established everything perfectly. He plowed the ground, by the prayers of the church, removes the obstacles. By the exorcisms recited in the baptism, removed the influence of the devil. And then he washed your soul and made it perfectly clean. He set everything in order, gave you all the tools you would need, the virtues, fortitude and patience and charity, prudence and justice and temperance, hope and faith. He set them all in array in your soul, knowing that when you came to the use of your reason, you would need them in order to keep up with your interior life. He gave you help and the angels and the priests and the parents, all the aid you would need. to keep things in order. He made your soul very beautiful. If you could see the beauty of the human soul in the state of grace, you would be given so much joy. He gave you this precious gift. He began this perfect work in you, and everything was just as it should be in your soul. Exactly how it was supposed to be. And he left that gift with us to preserve and to grow. St. Paul was confident that his disciples at Philippi would preserve this gift. That God would preserve it in them until their deaths. That he would perfect it, as St. Paul says, complete it. So that when they came to the day of their death, they would die in the state of sanctifying grace. That state of grace and a beauty of soul that God gave them at their baptism. St. Paul was confident he had seen the Philippians. They were especially noted for their love for him and for their good works and for aiding him in the gospel. As soon as they heard he was in prison, they sent a priest or the bishop on a long journey to support him, to help him. And he was confident that they would make it to heaven. But he could not guarantee it. And God has given to each of you that precious pearl, that pearl of great price, that beauty of soul, sanctifying grace. Everything within you at the moment of your baptism was in perfect order. You had everything you needed for the future. And how have you kept that gift? Have you kept it clean? Have you kept the gardens of your soul free of weeds? Have you preserved that gift? Or sadly, if you have allowed it to be dirtied by the filth of sin, have you washed it and made it more beautiful than before by penance? Do you allow evil men to wander your property? That is, do you allow bad habits, attachments to bad people or bad places? Do you allow love for sins to stay there and wander and wreak havoc in your souls? When you see that there is work to be done in your soul, do you put forth through the effort to do it, to keep on top of your obligations spiritually? Do we take up the tools that God gave us to battle temptation, to practice virtue, to grow spiritually? Are there weeds growing here and there in our soul that we refuse to pull out? Things that we push to the back of our mind that we want to ignore because we enjoy those evil things? And you children, you're closer to your baptism. When you were baptized as a baby, your soul was made perfectly clean. Keep it that way. If you're good and you listen to your parents, and you receive the sacraments, and you pray, and you stay away from sins, then your soul will stay clean. And it will only become more and more beautiful until you get to heaven. And you teenagers, too, you're closer to your baptism than the older people are. But now is the time that you really need to use the tools God's given you. When you're a child, when you're little, your parents direct you and tell you do this, do that, and most of us follow along pretty well. But once you're a teenager, that's where really when your battle starts. You have to take up the tools God gave you. You have to pray. You have to put in the effort. And just like plants grow very quickly in the spring at the start of their life, it's the same with a teenager for all of you younger people. Everything in your soul will grow quickly during this time. If you let bad things in, they're going to grow quickly and they're going to make deep roots in your soul. If you allow sins in your soul now when you're young, it's going to be hard to pull them out later. But if you practice virtues, that virtue is going to grow quickly and have a deep root in your soul. And it'll bear a lot of good fruit in your life. Happiness and peace of soul, avoidance of sin, and reward in heaven. Don't think that religion or virtue is something for old people. When you're young is the most important time. That's when you lay the foundation. You'll never be able to accomplish as much again as you can in the time when you're young. Because just like that plant grows quickly and establishes its roots, it's the same for you. And don't be deceived by the world says that, oh, you're young, you don't really have to take things seriously. No, it is serious. You're laying the roots that will either get you eternal punishment in hell or eternal happiness in heaven. Sin is very ugly and vile and disgusting, no matter how a person dresses it up. And if we love it, and if we don't get away from it, it will damn us to hell forever. And there's no coming back from that. But virtue will lead you to heaven and to eternal joy. And with you, you will take other people. No one goes one way or the other by themselves because we influence those around us. The gift of faith that God gave us when we first came to Him is a free gift. We didn't earn it. He didn't have to give us anything. Likewise, it will be a gift that we die in the state of sanctifying grace. It is a gift of God which we are not guaranteed. All of us can lose grace, with no exception. Yet we can be certain that if we cooperate with the grace that God has given us, if we use the gifts He gives us, then He won't fail to help us. He's there ready on His part, and if we cooperate with His grace, then we will have final perseverance. That means we will die in the state of sanctifying grace. The Council of Trent says, let no one promise himself anything as certain, with an absolute certainty, though all ought to place and repose a most firm hope in God's help. For God, unless men themselves fail His grace, as He has begun the good work of perseverance, so will He perfect that work, working to will and accomplish. And there was an Irish priest who echoed this. He said, do we wish to know whether God will perfect His work in us by granting us the gift of faith and the gift of perseverance? Then let us look at ourselves. If we imitate the Philippians, if we do our part, that is, as much as we can, if we correspond to the grace of God, then He certainly will perfect that work that He has begun in us. But if we refuse to do our part, if we fail to correspond with His grace, then He will not save us. For He does not wish to save us without ourselves, as if it were in spite of ourselves. There is not one of us who has not neglected something, who has not let some weeds grow within his soul. But root them out today, whether it was the young and small weeds of imperfection, or the more firmly rooted plants of attachment to sin, of deliberate venial sin, or the other horror of decay and death that is brought by mortal sin. Root them out today and don't delay to use the tools that God has given you to keep your soul clean, to wash away sin in the sacrament of penance, to feed your soul on the most holy Eucharist, to bring down the rain of grace by prayer. And if we have been negligent in caring for that gift that God has given us, then let us start with energy and courage and trust in God to do better today. Let us not only keep our souls alive, but improve them. Let us adorn them with the works of charity, the works of mercy. For one day, our King will return. And He will return as a judge to see how we have used the gifts he has given us, to see whether he will give us that joy and that possession as our internal inheritance forever. If we want to be sure of dying in the state of grace, then let's do everything we can to be sure of living in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.